It's 1 o'clock in the morning. You're with your significant other, your partner, girlfriend, or boyfriend, and you've been with them for years, say 3 to 5 years. You've been having these thoughts, and you're sitting at the kitchen table together, and you are about to say something to him or her that might just devastate her, but it's how you truly feel. And you need to tell your partner, your girlfriend or boyfriend, husband, wife, how you really feel. And you take a deep breath. You look in the eyes, look down, and say, I want to have sex with other people. Welcome to 3 a.m. Thoughts with Matthew and Chevy. I don't believe Matthew will be part of this one. This might be a solo episode by me, Chevy. Tonight we're going to talk about something that most monogamous couples struggle with after a long time. And we're going to talk about the difference between monogamy and polygamy, or an open relationship. We're going to talk about different true relationship styles, what they do for people, and why they can do the things that they do. This is 3 a.m. Thoughts. I am recording this early at about 10:40 p.m. starting. And you know what? I'm going to get an early bed tonight because I need it. So I hope you listen. I hope you get something out of this. And I'm just going to wing it like always. No notes, just wing it. Here we go, guys. 3 a.m. Thoughts. So let's start with the most common type of relationship. And this is the type that I personally choose to have. My partner desires it as well. We are happy in this style. And that is monogamy. Monogamy means that you choose only one person, mono being the keyword. Mono is Latin for one. So one partner. And this is what the general stereotype is. This is what society tells you you should do. You might get married. You might stay in a typical partner relationship. You might have a civil union. Either way, like anybody else, you are monogamous. And what is cheating when you're monogamous? As a monogamous partner, cheating is typically just simply not okay. If my partner cheated on me, I would be very upset. I would not accept it. So according to the Couple Center, thecouplecenter.org, they say that in monogamous relationships, cheating is an act of betrayal and breach of the marital contract. And it is. So if I were to cheat on Matthew, I would be in deep shit and I would feel guilt. Because if you want to be monogamous, if you do cheat, say you're drunk, maybe you've done drugs and cocaine, whatever, and you cheat, maybe you just are sick of your partner. That is betrayal. It is, as it says here, a quote-unquote breach of the marital contract. Therefore, you are doing something that you and your partner agreed would not happen from the start. Now, what if you get tired of that partner? Well, I did with my ex-girlfriend what probably was not okay, but it helped me really truly discover my inner self. I went into an open relationship. I pretty much did what I described at the beginning of this episode, and it hurt her at first. She slept on the couch that night, and I let her. In the morning, she came in, and we talked about it. Then we had an open relationship, and I won't lie, I had far more luck than she did. I felt really bad for her, but it helped me realize that what I was. See, that open relationship, that was not just sleeping with women. Not at all was it, actually. It was with men. I realized that I had really been craving to go back to my previous lifestyle of my much younger years and see men again, and I definitely enjoyed it. I met a few people that I did not care for, but mostly on these apps, dating apps for gay men, I started mostly looking for sweet, sweet guys. Because I myself, at heart, have been described as a sweetheart, and I liked guys that are similar. So it worked out. Let's just say it worked out. And me and my girlfriend broke up eventually. The open relationship was not because I was tired of her body and everything. It was that I felt the relationship had basically ended. It basically had ended, but yet I was still with that same person. So I needed a release, preferably a sexual release, where I felt I could release my emotions, my feelings, and get them out of there, what I really wanted. So what is an open relationship? An open relationship is one where, according to the Couple Center, and this is very brief, an open relationship is, quote unquote, a relationship where one or both members of a committed or married couple have the freedom to become sexually active with others. Now, in many cases, like with mine, there was to be no intercourse with anybody without permission. Now, you had to have reason not to give permission, but nonetheless, you had to inform your partner who you'd be with, where you'd be, and what time you'd be back. And I think these are reasonable things. However, I would never want an open relationship again myself. And if you do want one or have one, that's fine by me, as long as it works out and you and your partner really do love each other and can mentally separate love from sex. In order to do this, have an open relationship, you have to understand both parties that the sex you have with others is nothing like the love you have for your actual partner. And that love is irreplaceable, I hope. Now, another type of relationship, and this is one that I really don't understand myself. This one is new, is like reading Greek to me. But according to the Couple Center, a polyamorous relationship, simply called polyamory, is, quote unquote, the ability to choose to love more than one person at a time. It is a non-monogamous partner relationship where one or both parties have another consensual relationship. This can be in many configurations to this. It can also include singles who have partnered with someone in a committed relationship. It's often referred to as ethical and responsible non-monogamy because all parties are in agreement. To do this, in my personal opinion, the one that is starting it, the one that has the boyfriends, the one that has the girlfriends, the center one, I think that they are codependent, but yet they cannot trust or rely on one particular person. So they get their love and affection verbally or physically from whichever partner is around at the time. I view it as greedy and selfish. And please, I'd love to be corrected. I would love people to share their opinions on this. At the end of the episode, I will give you my contact information. But this is something that I don't personally agree with. And you know what? It is what it is, though. If somebody wants to be polyamorous, that is their choice. The Mormons have been doing it for decades. In the Mormon religion, a man, if you live in Utah, that is, a man can marry as many women as he likes. He can have as many wives as he likes. But what does this create? This creates frictions among the wives. In the event of a polyamorous relationship, one of those partners might get truly attached to the center person. And then that becomes toxic because they want their attention more than all the other wives do. And this creates drama. Now, I've never watched that TV show about the reality show about the Mormon lifestyle out in Utah. And I really don't want to. It really bothers me, to be honest. But you know what? They're allowed to live their lives. As long as they leave me alone, I will leave them alone. And that is their choice. So those are the three primary types of relationships. There is another one listed called relationship anarchy. And that's basically just saying that there are no rules. You're just in a relationship and that is it. Anything applies. And that is just going a little bit too far for me. So some of the issues that may happen, like I just mentioned, some people might get jealous. Sometimes jealousy arises in open relationships, just like it does in a single partner relationship, a monogamous one. To counter it, you need to make sure that everyone involved feels valued, as well as also by examining and talking about what's causing the jealousy, whether emotional, physical, or spiritual issue. And that is a quote from thecouplecenter.org. So one part of any relationship, any kind, is communication. If you cannot openly communicate with your partner, then I don't know how you expect it to last. It will be a resentful relationship, a suspicious one. If I do not know what my partner is thinking, this is me personally, then I begin wondering sometimes, I can tell when something is on his mind. I can always tell because I do have a level of being an empath. And I can tell something is brewing inside that noggin of his. And if he can't talk to me, that is a lack of communication. So if you ever feel like you are not satisfied sexually with your partner, you should communicate with him or her. And that communication will lead to, if you're monogamous, you to find ways to find your partner attractive again. As for me, I am happy to be just the way I am. And I doubt I'll ever will want anybody else. else. I spent 7.5 years with my wife, 4 of which were married. And I never slept with anybody the entire time. And I was satisfied with that because I really value companionship and I value emotion and I value caring about your partner. I like being cared of. Taken care of, which is rare. The first person to truly do it was my boyfriend here now, Matthew. Before then, the woman I dated, I'm sorry, I did not get the attention that I wanted or needed. It is what it is. It was what it was. You know what? But I feel like I don't want an open relationship in any form. I don't want one. I want just one person that I do not share with other people. I do not want to be shared or touched by other people whilst I am in that relationship. Open relationships. So, are they swingers? Maybe. Are they just lovers who might sleep with other people? Maybe. But why would somebody want one? If you're not dissatisfied with your partner, if you are satisfied with your partner, then why would you want an open relationship? I suppose that some people are able to mentally separate the part of their brain that is love and admiration and respect from the part that is just bestial lust, sex, just sex. And I cannot do that because I'll align my sex type as the romantic type. That's how I do it most of the time. And I incorporate the two into one. And I only really want to have sex with somebody I know because I found a term for myself. There are many new terms for sexualities. I am not pansexual, though I am bisexual, but I am also demisexual. So I'm a bisexual, demisexual. And demisexual means that I am more attracted to people that I have and that I have a strong connection with, an emotional connection. So like I said, when I was on Grindr, I only dated the sweet guys. Dated being one night stands probably. But the sweet ones were the ones that I can connect with. If you shut yourself off from me emotionally, if you have a big wall up, then I really can't connect with them. And honestly, the lovemaking will not be that great. So I had to find the right type of people for me. In any situation, I have to have the right type of people. A person, I should say. Excuse me. Let's go on to other things here now. So if you're to end that subject, though, in an open relationship, both of you need to be okay with it. In mine, I was more okay with it than she was. It was my idea. But when I once mentioned the idea of sleeping with another man was appealing to her. And you know what? That's okay. If that's what you truly really want. So if you end up, there's some where permission is so important that if you end up having sex with somebody without even mentioning it to your partner first, that right there is a big deal and will cause either a breakup or a fight. I've seen it happen. And that's sad. So like I said, communication is so key. Polyamorous relationships, honestly, I don't even know how those work. Like if a polyamorous relationship exists and you want to have multiple actual boyfriends, multiple loves, there's some massive gap that's not being filled with you. And I don't know if these people are honest or dishonest with their partners, or if it simply doesn't matter. How much of your personal life do they need to know? So that's one thing that would make me wonder if it's really an honest, true relationship. I would personally want my partner to be with me and only me. And that is something that I am very serious about. However, you know what? I can't judge them though, because I don't know what it's like to do that. I did the open relationship. I was in a straight relationship, hetero, and I decided that I wanted to be, I decided that I wanted to be with men for a while. That's what it mostly came down to. So anyway, we need to think about what it means to love someone, different types of love. So I'm looking this up as I speak right now because I'm ill-prepared, and I often do that. So what we need to know is, what is a soulmate? I personally believe, for the first time in my life, at age 32, that I have found a soulmate. And maybe I'm not using the right website. This is brides.com. So this is about women about to get married, but here's what we're reading. Brides.com, the definition of a soulmate. According to Dr. Michael Tobin, a soulmate is someone who you feel deeply connected to, but not in a dependent or needy way. The guiding principle in a relationship between soulmates is that needs are equally met because a soulmate relationship should challenge you to move from selfishness to giving. I continue on. It's the realization that this person who shares your life is a part of yourself, says family and marital psychologist Dr. Michael Tobin. A soulmate is an individual that has a lasting impact on your life. Your soulmate is your fellow traveler on the journey of life. You need one another to grow beyond the limitations of your individual selves. Okay? End quote. Okay? That's part of it. Now, I believe that I have found my soulmate. I'm 32 and I found him. Matt and I share a deep emotional bond where we can look at each other and know if the other person is okay or not okay. I can often tell if he's thinking about something. He knows when things are on my mind. We know each other's emotions most of the time. Sometimes we are able to shut that off, being able to feel it, and sometimes we shut off. Sometimes we shut off being able to express it. And so most of the time, we know what the other one is thinking. The happiness of that person. Let's put me as an example, because that's what I am best at. The happiness of my partner depends on my happiness. If Matthew is sad or depressed, I will feel sad or depressed. If he is very anxious, I will feel anxious. If he is very happy, I'm smiling. I mimic his emotions, and not consciously, I feel them. Being an empath and being with my soulmate, I truly feel what he is feeling most of the time. Certain things like excessive alcohol consumption and or drugs, they can limit that, or in some cases, they can awaken it. Excuse me. I feel that I have changed over the past few years, mostly over the past year. I have changed my attachment and my relationship style. Though, see, when I got with Matt, I quickly developed an anxious attachment style, which means that monogamously, I needed him to feel better about myself. I needed to talk to him constantly. Every 5-10 minutes away from talking to him sometimes was painful, unless I was very busy at work. And either way, sometimes I text them all night long. I'm still codependent in some way. However, though, we love each other very much, and we are very much so connected. Matthew, you are here. What do you have to say about our relationship style? I say that I have an anxious attachment style on you. But at the same time, it is codependent, but I've been learning independence very much so lately, very strongly. I've been really getting into being more independent. While at the same time, I still am codependent. I need you, Matt. I need you every day. And if I were to spend a whole day without talking to you, it would ruin me.
You so bad.
It would break me. Yeah.
That you are just beside yourself. You don't know what to do. You are lost. You feel that the world is ending. It's just
sometimes I can enjoy it. Sometimes I can put on the music that I want to hear and enjoy it. But give me an hour, and I'm probably not okay after that.
That's right. You know. So you find your other coping skills. I'm sorry. You find your other coping skills, and you use them. Music is one of them. Food.
I have my comfort movie, Austin Powers: The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Ultimate classic.
The one night. Thank you. We, ironically, Matt and I have the same favorite movie. Austin Powers 2. That night that Matt spent elsewhere because of a big fight we had, that was what I watched. Trust me, that's my go-to for crisis situations.
Yes, it is. But in the end, it's always, I'm home with you.
So what would you say your relationship style to me is?
To you?
Yeah. What is your relationship style that you have on me?
I'm actually codependent on you as well, actually.
Not to the same level, but I noticed it and I called you out on it.
You did, and I was just very, like, grr about it, so. But you actually stated a true fact.
Yep.
You communicated with me, and when you faced me with the facts, it was like, I had to think for a minute or two, if not a day or three.
Sometimes that's what it takes.
But you were patient.
Yes.
And I was so thankful for that. Thank you very much. And
let me just say also that as we first got together, within the first 2 weeks, I made it abundantly clear to Matthew that I do get codependent and I do get clingy. And if I truly fall in love with you, I cannot help it.
That's true. You were very You were very upfront and blunt and honest. I was thinking that, like, oh, I can definitely handle this, no problem, even being in the medical field, but to deal with it just 24/7, no breaks, and just to be, like, really in your face, it was different for me. It was a major adjustment.
And how is it now on my end and your end?
On my end, you have actually learned so much. You've actually calmed down. You've learned your cope skills. You've used them. I'm so impressed with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Abby. Thank you, my love.
I've
done good.
You've done very good.
Hmm.
And I'm just so grateful and so thankful that I have a wonderful man at my side.
So how do you feel about the fact that I need to text you throughout the workday here and there? And I had that mostly, that's a minuscule thing, but that I need to call you on all of my smoke breaks. How do you feel about that?
Some days, yeah, it does irk me, but you know what? I'm actually happy that you do it. Deep down, I really am.
What's that?
Because it shows me that you give a damn, you care.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you have a person that's just calling you on your breaks and everything here, honey, go to the phone, call them when you have a free second and just say, I love you.
Yeah, it makes a world of difference. It will change the day. It will make a codependent partner's day at work go by so much more positively. So those little things, those little signs, those little shows of affection can make a world of difference to certain people.
It does. And, you know, there were some days when I was at home and, yeah, I was depressed. And you'd actually call me, honey, you okay? What's going on? You need to talk to me. If you're not ready to talk yet, let me know.
I cared. Yeah, I care.
You cared. You care so much. It's beyond words to express. And I am just... very happy, very thankful, and just so blown away that I have you.
And honestly, guys, that is a rare person to find. Matt is a little codependent on me, and that, like, when he does need me, when he does absolutely need me, I need to be there for him, and I would have it no other way. Of course I will be there for him. What else would I be? I love him. If you truly love someone, you are always there for them, unless it's impossible. Yes, and I'm very grateful for the relationship that I have.
As am I.
Thank you, Matt. That makes me. I'm blushing all over.
Oh, that you are.
So I'm checking on prides.com, and if you believe you met your soulmate, okay. If you're wondering about it, if you think I have possibly met my soulmate, okay. Everyone can find their soulmate, you know, but we're not meant to be alone. And the purpose of a relationship is not merely to get our individual needs met, but we want our partners to reach their full potential. So, for example, Matthew right now was looking for a job. Congratulations, Matthew. You just got a job today.
I did. I'm so excited.
Where do you work?
I work at Subway right now. I do morning prep, which is really nice.
It's a downplay compared to what he did before as a CNA, Certified Nursing Assistant, and making big bucks working for a big company. But when he couldn't work there anymore, it came back to bite him in the ass. However, though, we're happy right now just to have any form of second income.
Thank you.
And the second income is really meaningful. We really need it for many reasons. Anyway, I encourage him to continue looking for jobs. He wants to do CNA work or use his CNA certificate in a job. And I encourage him at Subway to continue doing that. And true love for your partner, what true love is that you support them being happy no matter what, even if you don't agree with it. If it directly hurts you, yeah, you might fight against it, and that's fair. But
it's normal.
I'm not going to the extreme that you should just accept it if they say they're going to break up with you. I mean, you have to in the long run if they really are serious. But you should not fight too hard. You should state the reasons maybe why you believe that they should stay. Be calm about it. Do not yell. Yelling is immature. We are not children. We are adults. And if they decide to break up with you, if they say, I am not happy anymore, I'll be happier alone, then that's when you should accept it. Because what should matter to you the most is your partner's happiness. And if they are happy, you are happy. And that is how I feel.
I agree with you fully.
One moment, folks. Dun, 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 dun. Yay!
Yes, I know.
Good job. Okay.
No, I fully agree. Just being there for your partner and just making them happy, it's a feeling that you'll just overwhelm you sometimes. That is just so joyful. It really is. He's there for me left and right. I've had a family member pass away just recently. My rock here. I am so grateful, so thankful, and just very... How do I say? I can't say it in words. Just,
honey, I can't take all the credit here. You have helped me in ways that I've never been helped before. For 11 years, I was in a relationship between two girls. And neither one of them drove or made their own money. My last ex made money for a little bit here and there. But I was the primary supporter. And they were not capable of doing anything. I'm not trying to diss my ex-girlfriend. I think she's a wonderful person. But due to her depression, her mental health issues, depression and anxiety, that got so severe, she could not clean up the apartment. And my entire apartment turned into a pigsty. Oh. I am not going to say I am innocent either, because I made many messes myself when I was single. I tried to pick up here and there, and it was so much I could not keep up with it. It was overwhelming to me. With my ADHD, I saw it as a whole, and I did not know where to start.
I remember that day I came over. I think it was the second or third time I met you.
Second time, sir.
Second time.
Yes, I mean.
Took you shopping, got all the cleaning supplies, and...
That was the third time.
Oh, that was the third time? I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
And I just... I dug right in. He's like, I like, you're cleaning my apartment. Yeah, I know.
So I had to jump in, and within 2 hours, maybe three hours tops, we had most of this place, the really important stuff, totally cleaned up. I was even gifted a vacuum from the man that would later move in.
He didn't believe me when I sat there and told you, where I was like, hey, I got a vacuum for you. Don't buy that one.
My trust issues, I don't rely on people. I'm used to people talking out their ass, and honestly, it's not your fault. I ordered a vacuum on Amazon the same exact day that he told me he was going to bring me a vacuum that day.
I remember that.
Yep.
I was like, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Trust me, I got one for you.
So I have a Bissell that works great. And then I have an unopened Dust Devil to use whenever the Bissell breaks, maybe 10 years from now, whatever. I have a backup.
Dust Devils, please.
Yeah, I am hanging on to that, baby. You know what? I bought it out of my own money. anyway, though, yeah, true love is when you'll do anything for your partner. Matthew comes and visits me on my breaks, my smoke breaks at work with his car, even for just 5 minutes. I sit down, I can get a hug and a kiss and smoke my cigarette in peace in a vehicle without being watched by anybody else. He does things for me, but he brings me lunch. And honestly, being the less capable one besides my work, I do believe that I wish there was more I could do for my partner. I would do anything for him.
You've been such a wonderful support through all this. Honestly, you have, and I'm so grateful and so thankful.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I love you so much, babe. I do.
I love you too, Matthew. And see, those kind of things are how you know you meet your real soulmate. Like, one thing I know I do for him that I'm very good at is emotional support. Emotional support
Big
is very helpful. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Emotional support is so important. If you cannot be there for your partner emotionally, if you won't hug them or kiss them when they need it, then that's not a very healthy relationship style. In all honesty, one of the most healthy things you can do in a relationship is physical touch. It doesn't have to be sexual. So with some couples, like in my case, we are a gay couple, sexual touch is much more warranted than it is in a typical monogamous heterosexual relationship. But physical touch, stroking the arm, the hair, simple things like that shows that your partner is attracted to you and you like to touch them because you like to feel that physical connection. And I know for a fact, Matt, we do that all the time.
We do. And just to come up to you, if you're cooking or if I'm cooking, like this evening, cooking spaghetti, oh my goodness, just...
It was the bombest sauce I ever made. I'm really good at it. Anyway.
Delicious. But no, you came up and you were just hugging me left and right, and I was making strawberries for the guests, and it was wonderful time. It was.
Thank you. Yes, we had some guests over tonight. We fed them, and everybody was happy. So, in a relationship that is failing, in a monogamous relationship, open relationship, it doesn't matter. Polygamy, like I say, with polyamory, I'm not really going to touch on that too much because I don't really understand it. I don't know how it works, the factors of it. I don't know that. So, I could look it up, but I'd really rather talk about something that I am familiar with and that I can actually honestly discuss. So, open relationships or monogamous, either way, if you feel like you and your partner are sleeping on opposite sides of the bed too often, you don't cuddle anymore, the kissing becomes a ritual rather than a pleasure. These are signs that you need to do significant improvement, or you might have to accept the fact that your relationship is not going to last. What do you have to say about that, Matt?
About that one, yeah.
In the past.
You noticed it with you and I, and picked up on it fairly quickly.
We didn't get to that level, but I noticed the very subtle differences, the lack of I love yous, for example. Mm-hmm. And I'm the kind of person that will call it right out.
You will. And even through text message, through verbal, through even written, you call it as you see it. You really do.
That's I do.
But, you noticed it. And I was just,
taken aback.
Yeah, taken aback is the word I'm looking for. Thank you.
Yes, you were taken aback. You had not realized that you had not been doing that.
Yeah. And slowly I sat there and I didn't really sit there, but standing on the phone or, in person talking to him, it was just one where I was like, okay, we're going to do it more. So I made it more noticeable, more prominent.
Because you wanted to.
Exactly.
Because you wanted to please your partner.
Of course.
I'm not putting these words in your mouth. These are your true feelings, I assume.
No, they are. They are, definitely.
I already knew that, but just for you listeners. Our relationship right now is in tip-top shape. That, I believe, is the difference between a properly successful and a failing relationship. Thoughts. If you're together with your partner and they're sleeping on the opposite side of the bed as you, and you know that they do not want your affection at that night, it might bother them. These might be the things you're thinking about. And sometimes you have to decide to call it quits, or you can discuss it with your partner and pray that your partner is as open with communication as you are and want to be. Or there are many other options. So, this is 3 a.m. Thoughts. Not much left. We're at the final segment about relationships, open, monogamous, polygamous. Where do you stand? So we have gone over the three primary relationship types. There are other ones there, but I'm not going to go into those. I'm dealing with the primary ones right now. Too much to go into. So everyone's different. Everybody wants something different in a relationship. Everyone has their own views on what is morally right, or maybe they just don't care. Sometimes there are three people, two men and one woman, or vice versa, that have a three-way relationship that is polyamorous, where some people want an open relationship where they can date and see other people, but they only love one person. That is their true lover, their partner. Then, of course, the most popular, which I started with, are monogamous relationships, where you two are together and only you. That does not mean you cannot have menage a trois if you are both fully committed to it. And that person you might have it with, it is a one-time thing. It is over. If it becomes a habit, then it seems to be more of an open relationship. If it's with the same person over and over again, that's more polyamory. Yeah. Just because you're monogamous does not mean there can't be a third if you're both okay with it. There are all kinds of different ways. You need to find the way that fits you the best, the way that you truly want to be yourself, and what makes you happy. What makes your partner happy is equally as important. And if you two cannot settle on the same relationship style, then maybe it's time to find someone else, because you cannot make your partner happy if you can't meet their relationship style. So solo poly, meaning they want to seek poly relationships, whether or not they're dating anyone, just no matter what, they have to have poly. There's that. You may enter two separate relationships at the same time. And maybe those people, you view them separately, maybe you view them as equal. But usually there becomes a favorite, and the other one or two or more of partners end up feeling left out. There's something called closed poly, meaning the group includes multiple relationships, but there's an expectation that no one is expanding the group. So you're all just one. And I'm not sure how that works. Like I said, poly relationships are at a loss for them, okay? It's all about boundaries. This is all about boundaries. You define your boundaries. Make sure you're the partner that shares those boundaries. In my opinion, if you want anything other than monogamous or even monogamy, especially in a gay relationship, because in the gay scene, open relationships are very common. Men are just typically more sexual. We are. Men want sex more. And, you know, I'm sorry, men tend to not mind as much if our partner sees somebody else, or if we see another partner, it doesn't seem to be an issue to a lot of men. However, there are many of us still, we're not dinosaurs, and there are many of us still that do truly want committed relationships.
You're right. You're right. They truly want the true commitment, but some of them are actually afraid to actually commit, and that's why the open relationships happen. But yes, there are those that want that one and only person, and I know I'm lucky. I'm very lucky.
Thank you for saying that. I'm the luckiest person I've ever met, luckiest person I've ever known. I have the man of my dreams. I have a soulmate. I have a spiritual bond. That spiritual bond cannot happen, in my opinion, in anything but monogamy. That can only happen if you're truly one-on-one. When I am with him, I often ignore my phone. I separate myself from the world. All I care about is my partner. And I know, call me codependent, call me clean. I don't care. The relationship style works for us. It's what makes me happy.
We're happy. Yep. Point blank. And that's, we are just happy.
Thank you. And thank you, Matt. And the point is here, just be happy. Do what makes you happy. But also, Don't cheat on your partner, basically. Don't cheat. Before I went having sex with men, I discussed it with my girlfriend. At least you can give her that respect. Anyway, this is Chevy.
This is Matt.
On 3 a.m. Thoughts. It is early, like I said, 11:26 p.m. So I'm defying my podcast title. You all have a wonderful night. Thank you. Over and out.